He was determined to be more completely Sawa than ever I had played the role. He did nothing on his own. Mean Subradiel guided him completely. But over his conservative role-playing, he laid a glamour of disinterest. Joel Barandandi and everyone else merely gave the idiot woman a glance and concentrated on Shiki, who appeared particularly attractive this morning, who carried her flute hung on a thong around her neck. Anyone who tried to use force would suffer a cruel surprise. The flute was not new, but the gangisha that Shiki carried was. Today even Sawa carried a statue of the god. Joel Barandandi mocked Subradiel.
"When will you start carrying a gangisha in each hand?"
This was after he had been threatened because of Shiki, and he was not feeling kindly. Subradiel bent and whispered to her gangisha, something about pardoning Barandandi, because at heart he was a good man who needed help finding his anchor within the light. Barandandi heard some of that. It disarmed him for a while. He turned the mad woman and her companions over to his wife, who had developed an almost proprietary interest lately. Subradiel, in particular, made her look good, because she got so much work done. Narita, too, noted the gangisha.
"If religious devotion will win you a better life next time around the wheel, Subradiel, you're headed for the priestly class for sure."
Then the fat woman frowned.
"But didn't you leave your gangisha here yesterday?" I did. I thought I lost that one forever. I didn't know what had come of it. Where is it? Where is it?"
She had prepared for this, though the gangisha had been left behind intentionally.
You see?
Subradiel's love affair with her gangisha amused everyone.
"We took good care of it."
There was a lot of work scheduled for the day, which was good. It helped pass the time. Nothing else could be done till much later, and even then, luck would have to play a big part. Another dozen gangishas would not have been out of place where the need for luck went. During the noon break, over kitchen scraps, Subradiel's party heard rumors of the protector's rage over someone having stolen some books from the royal library. She was out there now, investigating personally. Subradiel shot warning looks at her companions. No questions. No worrying about the people they could not possibly help. Later in the day, there were more rumors. The Purohita and several members of the Privy Council, along with bodyguards and hangers-on, had been treated to a wholesale slaughter on the very steps of the Cairn Mi Huat, in what sounded like a full-scale military assault supported by heavy sorcery. Reports were vague and confused, because everyone but the attackers had been trying to find somewhere safe to hide. Subradiel tried to take that into account, but could not control her anger entirely. Kendo Cutter was too violent a man to have been in charge, and too devout a Vedna. The Guni were not going to be pleased about bloodshed happening on the very steps of a major temple. There was much talk about the signs and portents thrown up as cover and diversion while the attackers faded away. There would be no doubt who had been responsible, nor even who was next on the list of the doomed. Any smoke cloud that did not declare "water sleeps" thundered, "My brother unforgiven." It had been rumored only for a day that the great general had been summoned to Taglios to deal with the dead who refused to lie down.